Going down for it. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It was as bad as it could have been, and we are in outer space.
Hello.
Is that gone now?
Oh, it is gone now. Thank you, Dino. You hit the magic button.
I did hit the magic button.
It was fun being in space, though, because it was better than what we saw on planet Earth yesterday. As the Browns suffer the worst defeat in the history of the Browns and Bengals rivalry, as they got it taken to them pretty handily by the Cincinnati Bengals, the final score being 37-3. The Browns were dominated in every facet. The performance as an offense was unacceptable. The performance of the defense was unacceptable. The performance of the special teams was unacceptable. There is nothing positive to say about this game. There's nothing positive to say about the state of this team right now. 2-10, 2-15 in their last 17 games. It's bad. And yesterday was the kind of game that didn't even seem as close as the score. And the score was the most lopsided in the history of the Browns against
the Bengals. Let me interject right here. And just because you said,
go ahead,
there are no positives. And I'm not trying to say that there were. But if I could say, I'd give you $1 million that if you could find a positive and have five other Browns fans agree with you on that positive, I'd give you $1 million. What would that be?
Darius Jennings came in, 5 catches, 35 yards. He now has more receiving yards on the season than Dwayne Bowe. He's only one behind Tom Brady, who also has more receiving yards this season than Dwayne Bowe. By the way, for all the people who keep tweeting that Tom Brady has more receiving yards than Dwayne Bowe, look at Tom Brady's salary. I think the Browns are getting a heck of a deal. Tom Brady's getting paid twice that much money. He only has 5 more yards. So, I mean, that can't be.
Bargain.
That's a stealing. For reals. Darius Jennings would be the only thing I would say. Travis Benjamin got hurt in the game. You didn't see anything on the defensive side of the ball. Andy Dalton in the second half was just toying up with them. 7 of 7 in the half, 86 yards and a touchdown. Jeremy Hill ran all over them, leapt into the crowd once again. They averaged 10 yards a pass. We averaged 5 yards a pass. Our offensive line, once again, was turning a performance that was certainly not one to write home about, as they were dominated really by a rush of 4 people. Austin Davis looked exactly like what I thought Austin Davis would look like. Again, I go back to it, and this is nothing against Austin Davis, but in the National Football League, the number one goal of a team is to win. And to help you win, the number one goal of the team is to find a quarterback that they can build your franchise around. The St. Louis Rams, who don't have a quarterback, they got Nick Foles, they've got Case Keenum, and of course they've got Sean Manning, who they drafted from Oregon State this year, had Austin Davis on their roster. He started 8 games for me, won 3. They cut him. So it's not that surprising that he struggled out there. But I'm not going to put it all on him. You had, you know, obviously an interesting decision to have only 4 wide receivers active, because got to have Don Jones out there, folks. And so Terrell Pryor and Dwayne Bowe sat on the bench, were not able to go in the game when the Browns were down to 2 receivers. Austin didn't have anything to work with, to be fair to him, but didn't show anything to me that seemed ridiculous. He dropped back 43 times. Here's an amazing stat for you, for the best offensive line in the world, which has a first-round pick, a 35th pick overall, a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and a second-round pick, plus another first-round pick who went in and was summarily benched because his play was unacceptable. Again, hopefully he can play center. He was drafted to play center. He was not drafted to play guard, to be fair to Cam Irving. Never played guard at any level in the NFL, in his whole life. Forget the NFL, and now he's playing guard at the NFL. The guy's supposed to be a center. So here's an amazing stat to me. When I said they generated their pressure with the front four, how many times, Matt Wilhelm, how many times do you think Austin Davis was blitzed out of 43 dropbacks?
Twice.
4 times.
Okay.
4 times. They sacked him once. He was 3 for 3 the other time. Under pressure on 23 of 43 dropbacks, over 50% of the time that he dropped back. 3 sacks, 2 intentional groundings. Unacceptable performance there. A tipped lateral. Isaiah Crowell could have picked up that ball, did not. He caught, and they picked up the ball. You had 144 yards rushing given up. They've now rushed for basically 500 yards in the last 3 games. The Bengals got to feel like they have the Browns' numbers right now. In the last 3 games, they've outscored the Browns 98-13. It's bad. This is bad. It's not great.
And to me, what I've... the resounding thing that I took from yesterday, and this is not in any way constructive, and it's not in any way positive, and this, in some cases in the middle, there's a Browns fan who just wants to come to the stadium and be in a competitive football game, right? You're going to win some of the games that you're very competitive in. If you play close games and you have some playmakers, some good coaching, you're going to win some of those games. And to me, what was most evident, and we can say that the Bengals are playing at a championship level, right? A team that most likely on paper and as they sit right now at 10-2 will compete to win the Super Bowl trophy this year, the Vince Lombardi trophy, right? Yesterday was the greatest depiction of how far we are from playing at competing for a championship level. A 34-point discrepancy is how far away we are.
We are very far. We were beaten by a team that was clearly, clearly, clearly better.
And you know what?
Every phase.
It was. And it was frustrating for me to see because you could tell they had a plan. And I didn't watch a bunch of tape prior to the Cincinnati Bengals game. You know, in some cases we do, some cases we don't. But all the shifts that they were doing, you know, the line the linemen out, run the screen off it, bring them back, run the run play, throw it opposite, you know, all that stuff. They were still doing that in the second half, and the game was not even, in touch. That just goes to show the amount of toying that Hugh Jackson and Andy Dalton and that Marvin Lewis lets his coaches coach, and he understands that his guys are held to a high standard, and he expects them to go out and play great football.
When you give up 7 yards a play in the NFL, you are not going to win. And the Browns gave up 7 yards a play yesterday to the Cincinnati Bengals, and they were toying with them. They go with that formation. When Andy Dalton ran it in, they sent 4 guys
to
the left.
We that to me,
three guys out there.
I was in a suite with a friend of mine, and I stood up and I go, "You gotta be kidding me," because I knew what they were trying to accomplish. And of course, my eyes immediately go to the defense and, okay, how are we gonna match up? We were one guy short, and then the two guys that could defend the play best were looking at each other when the ball was snapped, and by the time they looked back, Gip looks back out to the quad, right? And Andy Dalton runs right through the gap that he should fit in. So it's like he was completely in no man's land. And that's the same thing that goes back to Monday Night Football with my comment on Tuesday morning with, if I had a dollar for every time a Cleveland Browns player on offense or defense, you know, looked confused, Marlon Moore was still having to be lined up at times yesterday and then told what route to run. And that was our third wide receiver yesterday?
That was our third wide receiver, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
By design.
But yet, 6'4", 225, he's only had 3 practices here in Cleveland, was late for a meeting on Wednesday, but chose the Cleveland Browns via his comments, because we heard on sound bites during the pregame show, he chose Cleveland because he knew the playbook. Now, this is a guy that was out of a job, so he's not had many places to choose, but when we gave him a ring, he goes, "Hey, I know your playbook. Probably a high likelihood that I can come there and make a little bit of a splash on a team that is not splashing anywhere."
Well, it's almost like they knew if they toyed with him on the defense. We've heard, even when you go back to the Monday Morning Quarterback article, and it wasn't meant as disrespect, but when you were reading what Carson Palmer had to say about our defense, that it was so complex and that they knew they could get guys on the Browns out of position because they just didn't know what their responsibilities were on every single play with all the different variations and checks. And you saw that yesterday. We had blown coverages, a couple of them over the field. We tried to too often leave Tremont Williams man-to-man on A.J. Green. Not going to happen. Not going to work. And it was just like taking candy from a baby. They were it's amazing when you look through these things. So here's the first possession for Cincinnati. 6 plays, 26 yards, punt. Okay, here's the rest of their possessions for the game. Touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, and then the one at the end of the game with A.J. McCarron that they turned over on downs. Let me read that again. They punted down their opening drive.
So first and last did not end up in a score.
Touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, touchdown, field goal.
Field goal. Oh, I thought you were doing like a rhyme or something.
If I were a first grader,
I could pick up trend.
The
pattern. What comes
ready?
Next?
All right, yeah, fill in the blank. Ready? Touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, blank.
Field goal!
Nope, downs.
Damn it.
You were close. You were close.
I don't like this song.
They were just right now not good, and this is the kind of game where you feel disheartened. And I know I certainly feel disheartened. I think that the fans that I spoke to after the game and saw at the game, they certainly seemed disheartened. Obviously, the players, you get the sense that they were disheartened. Brian Hartline, what do you make of him saying he doesn't even want to speak to the media because he wants to stay employed? That's what he said.
Because he's reached his boiling point, that the same way that we sit in front of a microphone on a show where we're compensated by the Cleveland Browns, he too is still being compensated by the Cleveland Browns and would not want to say anything or project anything that would potentially harm his career and his next year on his contract, which is in fact by the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, it seems to me just kind of at this point, it's an avalanche of just, you know, things that the little things are adding up and they've become big things. And then yesterday it was just egregious. I mean, I know it was just so tough to watch Jim Dre trying to play wide receiver and Duke Johnson trying to play receiver and E.J. Bibbs trying to play receiver. Poor Gary Barnage got banged up when you knew that Dwayne Bowe was sitting there healthy, sitting on the bench, as was Terrell Pryor. And my question to you is, honestly, at this point, what's he here for? If Andrew Hawkins and Taylor Gabriel are out and you're faced with starting Marlon Moore at wide receiver and you've just promoted Darius Jennings and you're going to start him, not that they didn't play well. That's not the point I'm saying. And Dwayne Bowe can't be active for you. Why is he here?
Right.
Because at some point it's got to become a distraction. I'm sure he's not happy. To his credit, he comes out there on the bench and I hear what the fans say to him. He acts like a pro. Dwayne Bowe's not, maybe he is, maybe there's stuff that we just don't know about, but from what I understand, Dwayne Bowe's not the reason Dwayne Bowe isn't playing. Dwayne Bowe would be more than happy to suit up and play. And I'll tell you, the last time we saw Dwayne Bowe was against Cincinnati on Thursday night, and he was still competing at the end of the game.
He was fighting for that first down.
All three of his catches came in that one game. So I don't understand. I think that sometimes overanalyzing, like, is there a scenario where it's possible that Don Jones could impact the game?
No.
I mean, maybe he forces a fumble on special teams.
Sure.
But I mean,
but then you still need your offense to capitalize on that turnover and turn it into points.
There is, I mean, at some level, you do think that he's not even going to move the needle. By the way, there aren't a whole lot of special teams plays for you when, you know, I don't know.
Oh, I did this as well. Again, we have the luxury of having the stats in front of us, and we'll get into player percentages and who played what later in the show, I'm sure, as we always do.
We didn't even kick the ball off in the second half.
Right. And this is what's knowing that why we need so many defensive backs when you and I, in talking about this Bengals football game and some of the word that had come out of Cincinnati was they want to limit A.J. Green and Andy Dalton as much as they can, give the ball to Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill, and get out of here with the win and continue rolling towards, which they now own the number one spot in the AFC, right? We only carried 18 offensive players into the football game. And 24 defensive players into this football game. And then you add your three specialists. That's 42 and your three specialists. I just don't understand.
Well, Pierre Desir played seven
special team snaps.
He played seven defensive snaps. Oh, zero special teams.
Zero special teams.
Don Jones played 20 special teams. Batamosi played 20 special teams exclusively. So those two guys only played on special teams.
Yep.
I don't know that you necessarily need two guys to play only special teams. It just became, the injuries exacerbated. Obviously, you just would have had Benjamin and Hartline and more out there, but I still would. It still seems to me that you would like to have one. You'd like to have another option out there at wide receiver.
You definitely would.
Because your four receiver set all of a sudden is Marlon Moore and Darius Jennings. Give Darius Jennings credit. He came out there and he played well, he did a good job. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. We will hear from Mike Pettine after the game. Some interesting comments from the Cleveland Browns head coach. We will hear from Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, at 2 o'clock. We will also hear some sound bites from after the game. But we do want to hear from you. And by the way, the big rumor out there is that Johnny Manziel will start Sunday. Again, you'd like to know what you have in him. But I don't know that you can even find out what you have. Again, this isn't to say that, well, then Austin Davis deserves a pass. I thought you've seen that. If Johnny struggles, it won't surprise me, especially if we trot out the receiving core that we currently are. I don't even know. It seems right now with the play of the offensive line, it's difficult to evaluate anybody.
Yep.
I think for me with Austin Davis, knowing his history, knowing he started 8 games in the NFL, played for St. Louis, and knowing that he is a good guy by all accounts, a guy who studies, prepares, and does everything the right way, that the reason he's not in St. Louis is they flat out felt he could not play. and maybe he develops into a long-term backup for the Browns, that's fine. That would be great. But we do need to see Johnny.
So, and
I don't know what kind of
we had potentially one guy. Joel Bitonio gets hurt early in that football game. We cycle in Cam Irving. We had Alex Pastore in there eventually at guard, which they wanted to get a look at, which is essentially another positive that we took from yesterday's football game from an evaluation standpoint. And you look at, and I guess I'm stating a very obvious question, but you look at the Green Bay Packers who were without three starters, right? The entire right side of the offensive line. They had Bakhtiari and Josh Sitton, right? And somehow, some way, after playing as bad as they did on Thursday Night Football, they protect just enough. They execute just enough. You know, they don't have stars at wide receiver. They don't have Adrian Peterson at running back, but what's the one standard that they have? And they're the 19th ranked defense, which I think if they're a feast or famine defense, having played there for Dom Capers. They either play very, very well, or it's like, you know, they give up 500 yards. What's the one difference that they have? And there might be more than one, but what's the one bit difference between them? We're missing one guy, but then we replaced him with a first round pick between why their offensive line was able to execute and why ours could not.
You're saying in Green Bay?
Yes.
Well, they've got Aaron Rodgers.
There you go.
Which helps, but he also is struggling holding the ball too much.
Correct.
This year. I think overall, I think they've got some type of, you know, they have a system. I think they have belief in their system. I don't think there's any questioning of the system. I think that here you're seeing blatant questioning of the defensive system by the players on the field. They still, we're 2-10, so we played 12 games. There's a quarter of the season left. There shouldn't be nearly as much confusion on the defensive side of the ball as there is. There shouldn't be nearly as much ineffectiveness on the defensive side of the ball as there is, given the money, the resources allocated to that side of the ball. And right now, you've got to be very, 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 very concerned, you know, with just kind of what you're getting from young guys. I think what I hope for over the final 4 weeks is that anybody emerges and says, I want to be a building block for this team. Anybody.
That's what I said coming out of the bye.
Well, our wish list has not changed. We're just doing finally. We're doing what we can. That's what we are trying to do. All right, when we come back, want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm on a rough edition here of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.